Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Birthdays are a time for remembering. And I'm sure you will agree that there are many wrong ways of remembering. Remembering unrestrained can easily become a cause for sinful pride, or even a way of escaping a harsh and uncertain present and future. It has always seemed to me that we as a seminary are fortunate that our fathers had the good sense to found this seminary during the holy season of Advent. Because if Advent teaches us anything, it is that the basis of our memory shall be the acts of God in Jesus Christ, and that memory forms the basis for the Christian hope, the hope of the future, the certainty that our life is indeed with God in eternity. On this day, then, as we celebrate the birthday of Concordia Seminary and 140 years of God's abundant blessings upon us, it is fitting that we focus on a word from God that is indeed an Advent pericope, the opening words of last Sunday's epistle written by the Apostle Paul to the Philippians in chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Let us hear those words again. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for all of you, making my prayer with joy, thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The first lesson that we would take home from these words of the apostle is simply this, that we remember our past with thanksgiving. Look at those words of the Apostle Paul, how his pastoral heart simply wells up with joy and thankfulness as he thinks about his Philippian people. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always, in every prayer, for all of you. What a universal statement if there ever was one, especially from a pastor as he reviews his flock, as he thinks back about God's events in their lives, as he thinks about his own ministry, as Paul was doing as he wrote these words. Filled with thankfulness, filled with joy, always, in every time, for all of you. And it takes only a moment's reflection to realize that the apostle did not have to be filled with thankfulness as he remembered. He could have remembered with sorrow, because there were many things in his own personal life that gave him cause for sorrow. There were disappointments, shipwrecks, imprisonments, uncertainty, a clouded reputation that he himself enjoyed because of his early years. It could have been a cause, on the other hand, for remembering with pride. For surely this apostle, this man of God, in the few short years of his ministry, had been signally blessed. And he could have remembered the accomplishments of his ministry, or the accomplishments of this young and dynamic congregation in Philippi. But he chose to remember with thanksgiving. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And that's the way it is for Concordia Seminary on this day, too. We can look back a long, long time, and many of us do, looking upon things that give us cause for disappointment, cause for sorrow, because not all has gone well at Concordia Seminary at all times and on every occasion. Or, on the other hand, it could be a remembering with a certain amount of pride. For after all, there have been accomplishments. There have been noteworthy teachers and leaders of the church. The size of the institution has always been rather large as seminaries are counted. We could point to the magnificent buildings in which we live and work and do our study of God's Word. But let us not do that. Let us, on this Advent birthday celebration, remember with thanksgiving. Now, there's a particular focus of thanksgiving that we should also learn from the Apostle Paul. It wasn't just a general euphoria that he describes as the cause of his thanksgiving. It's very pointed. Thankful, he says, for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Your partnership in the gospel. That magnificent Greek word, koinonia. This sharing in the gospel of Jesus Christ that was typical of his people, the congregation in Philippi. This is a beautiful thought, is it not, from this pastor as he writes to his people? For it meant that the thing that gave him cause for thanksgiving as he remembered them was something they had in common as well as something that they did in common. They had koinonia, fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because God had reached down into this stony and rebellious generation, had sent his Son to live our life, to die our death, to rise from the grave for us and for all men, and in that act had offered eternal life and salvation to us and to all believers, had given koinonia, given fellowship between himself and us, and between us and our God through him, and through the reconciliation that he won for all men in his blood on the tree. It was a fellowship, a partnership that Paul had with his people. But even more, it was a partnership which they exercised together. It was a sharing of a common task, a task of proclaiming and witnessing the good news of God in Jesus Christ. And how wonderfully they did that in their own ways. The laymen, the men, the women, the deacons, the evangelists, the prophets, all of those associated with the apostle and his ministry. And he could look back upon them and remember not only the things that gave them cause to boast or the cause to be disappointed, but the things that reminded him of their sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And he was thankful for the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, a continuity that was truly remarkable. We too, if we are to remember with thanksgiving, ought to learn from the Apostle Paul to focus on that which is the real cause for thanksgiving and joy as we remember on this day. For indeed, it is our partnership in the gospel that is the cause for our thanksgiving and our remembrance. That for 140 years, God has seen fit to bring together at this place men to teach, men to learn, lips to proclaim, lips to sing, lives to bear witness to the remarkable grace of God in Jesus Christ, the fellowship which God has restored between us and himself in the life and death and resurrection of his Son. And to think of it, it's not only a fellowship that we have with each other and with God that is the cause for our thanksgiving, but a partnership in spreading that good news that typifies this place and the people who have served and do serve here on this day. One could drop names like C.F.W. Walther, the Fearbringer family, Francis Pieper, or on this day, we think of those whose gifted pens have penned and spread the good news of Jesus Christ through the sacred page. Men like Hilton Oswald. We could remember the 10,000 pastors who have graduated from this institution in these 140 years and have spread that good news in more than 75 countries of this world. It's a wonderful partnership in the gospel that is the cause for our remembrance on this day. So then, let us, first of all, as we come together on this day to praise God, learn from Paul the Apostle in this Advent epistle to remember our past with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the partnership we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there is a second focus to these words of the apostle that are very, very fitting for us on this day as well. For the apostle immediately continued his greetings to the Philippians with these words, "I am confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Do you notice how he fails to focus on the past? He doesn't keep dwelling on it. He doesn't cite the many accomplishments of the past. He immediately moves into the present, where life is lived today, where witness is given. And he thinks of the future. And he says with confidence that God, who has begun the good work in the Philippians, will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. We often remark about Paul's confidence. How could a man facing what he faced be so confident, so sure that God was his in Jesus Christ, so confident that he enjoyed the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life, so confident that the future would work out well because it was in the hands of God? Surely there were many causes for uncertainty and for a lack of confidence in this man's life. He could easily have written these people to be a little bit careful, to be cautious, to check things out, not to move too quickly lest they do something wrong, or to be worried about something or concerned about something else. But he didn't do that. "I am confident that he who began the good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And so we learn that lesson too from this word of God, that we face our future with the same kind of confidence, even though we too have our fears, anxieties, and uncertainties. We live in a very troubled time and in a very troubled month within a very troubled time in this world of ours. Political, economic, national uncertainty and insecurity are certainly the order of the day. And you young men who prepare for the work of the gospel, what does your future hold? It's so easy for us to be concerned, so very natural to be worried about our future. Let us learn from our remembrance on this birthday, and especially from the Word of God, which is our focus on this day, that when we remember our partnership in the gospel with thanksgiving, that kind of remembering provides the basis for certainty and hope. Why? Because the object of our hope is not we. The object is the God who began the good work in us, who will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Think of that great God at this moment, how he began that good work in this world by choosing a people, a very odd people in many respects, how he led those people, gave them his word, performed his mighty act, how he sent his son into this world, a birthday that we commemorate in just a few days, how he led that son to be our sacrifice on God's sacred tree, raised him up again to life eternal as the harbinger and first fruits of our resurrection. God began that good work in his world, a world that had turned its back on God. But think again, as Paul's Philippian readers thought, how God had also carried that good work one step farther. For he had begun the good work in them. In the waters of holy baptism, he had washed them clean. In his body and blood, in his precious supper, he had nourished them with his continuing work. And in the word of the gospel, he continued to redeem, restore, and forgive as they went astray. And it was that kind of remembering that focused on the good work that God had done and does, in that kind of remembering, that Paul found his certainty, his confidence, that the same God who has done all of that will continue it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And he can go on in the next verses of this magnificent epistle, urging that their love will abound more and more, that their knowledge and discernment will increase, that they may learn to approve what is excellent, so that they may be pure and blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. And he is confident that all of this will happen as we face the eschaton. Why? Because the God whom we remember and the people whose activity in partnership of the gospel we recall all focus on the God whose good work in us will indeed be continued until the day of his imminent return. So then, brothers and sisters in Christ, we praise God for 140 years of love and grace and blessing at this place and through it. We remember with thanksgiving, and we face the present and the future with the certainty that rests in God himself. Even now, let us eat his body and drink his blood unto his remembrance, for in remembering him, memory and hope become blended, and you and I in Christ Jesus can live and bear witness to that magnificent world, that magnificent love of God that passes all understanding. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.